Praise the Lord, you stay. Praise God, you just come and seat it.
I don't mind starting.
Amen, the Lord bless you. I'm going to try and sing you a song. Praise God, I'm nervous this morning. Imagine that, I've preached everywhere and I'm nervous. Sister Alva doesn't know this one, but probably. Amen. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yield myself to His tender embrace, in faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe. How precious the thought that we all may recline like John. Praise the Lord. Let's come before the throne of grace. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace, for we may find help, mercy. In the time of trouble, Lord, how we bow before thee this morning. Come before thy throne. Father, we thank thee for the lovely person, thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We're sailing the wild seas no more. But we've anchored our soul in the haven of rest. We thank you for that rest this morning in the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And Father, we thank you that your ears open to their cry and your arms not shortened, but you're able to reach and save and deliver. Father, we come before you. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the needs. Those in this room this morning, you feel the suffering and the pain. For you're touched by the very feeling of our infirmities. But Father, we send the Holy Spirit to work. And we say, Holy Spirit, go upon that young man. Holy Spirit, go upon that young woman. Speak to them, we pray, and deliver them from the hand of the enemy. Amen. We claim them under the power of the blood in Jesus Christ's name. Father, move in this room today. Touch thy people once again. Move upon them and bless them and strengthen them, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for my auntie Helen that you'll touch her and heal her this morning in Jesus Christ's name and speak to their soul. And oh God, bless her, I pray. And Father, bless again the Sands family. Comfort them. Strengthen them. Oh God, be all they need this time. In Jesus Christ's name. Now Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit. And I thank you that you undertake for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one of you this morning. I want you to try and continue on, and forgive me this morning, praise God. I don't know what's wrong with me, but anyhow. You know, when I get to church, I don't know if you're the same as me or not, but you know, when I get here and I start to hear the singing and everything, I'm always thankful to the Lord. Because yeah. God lifted me from a very dirty dunghill. Amen. And he delivered me. And I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord this morning. Yeah. And I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God. Let's turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 1 again. And just remain seated this morning. Let's read from verse 5 of the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. Down. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We know that God will bless his own word. Last week I began to preach a little bit about this light. And I want again this morning to take from this verse 5 again that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. I know I preached this some years back, but I know a lot of people didn't get to the service. And you know, I just felt led to go over it again. And I hope that's all right. If you can remember it from before, God bless you. And if you can't, the Lord bless you. Praise God. But there's three kinds of rays that come with the sun and come with the light. And I want to talk about them this morning. And the scientific analysis of sunlight reveals that it consists of these three kinds of rays. And three is a very important number in the Bible. And three and seven, there's two numbers. And we take three and we take seven. You can go through all the Bible with your threes and through all the Bible with your sevens. And three is a wonderful number, praise God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Grace. You're saved by grace. Justification, sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three. So you see, like the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three. three offices, one work, but three things till it. Justification, sanctification. Just a thought. Now listen to this. Chemical rays or actinic. That's what they mean. Rays that are invisible and neither can be seen or felt, but they're there. So these chemical rays, actinic rays, they can't be, these are invisible rays that can neither be seen nor felt, but they're there. And you see, you might know it this morning, but they're around us. These rays are around us. Whether you feel them or see them, they're there. And God's always with you. Whether you feel them or see them, He's still there. Then there's these other rays, light rays. These light rays can be seen but not felt. So the light rays, you can see them but you can't feel them. But the rays you can't see, but these rays you can see. Then there's the heat rays. And these heat rays are felt but never seen. You can feel the heat but see it. You could say, well, it's the sun. I told you last week, if you were beside the sun, you'd be dead. Because the sun is so warm and hot. It's millions of miles from us, the sun is. So when we say this, we see the sun, we're seeing something that's a far way off. It's not right, but yet it's the sun. But you can feel the heat of the sun, can't you? You can feel the sun rays. And the sun rays is actually good for you. You hear all these stories, sun gives cancer and all the rest of it. Now that's extreme sun worshipping. But sun's good for you. There's a vitamin in sun, did you know that? Amen. Which is good for your body. So sun's good for you. And saw me and Carl's come back from Australia, they're feeling good because of the sun. Now, the Holy Spirit as well, but I'm telling you, if you go somewhere, people go on a holiday where it's warm and they come back feeling good because of the sun. The sun does you good. You know that? Sun's good for you. Now I want to go through a few things this morning and you bear with me. God is light and in Him is no darkness. That's our text this morning. And we know that there's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Spirit. Three offices of one God. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The Father corresponds to the chemical rays of sunlight. No man has seen God at any time. But yet He's there. And He always was. And we saw last week, when did He start? He didn't start. When does He end? He doesn't end. He's before all things. He's eternal. So for God to have a mother is impossible. Absolutely impossible. God is before all. And Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. All things are made by Him and for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So you see these types, how it works out. The Father corresponds to the sun rays of sunlight. No man has seen God at any time. The Son, who is the light of the world, corresponds to the light rays. The one who we see but we don't feel. You see but you don't feel. If I said to you, feel Jesus, you can't feel Jesus this morning as a man. You can't put your hand out and feel Jesus as a man. Thomas did. But you can't hear this morning. But listen, now follow with this. The Holy Spirit corresponds to the heat rays, since He is felt in the lives of believers but never seen. So if I say to you, where's the Holy Spirit? See Him. He's a spirit. You don't see a spirit. But you can sense the Holy Spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit. He's here. So God works like these rays in three offices. One where He's there, but you don't see Him. Another where, you know, the sun, you can't literally touch Him, but He's still there, isn't it? You know, you can see Him, but you can't literally feel Him. But He's there, you can see Him. You know He's there. You see the picture of Him in the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit you don't see, but you can feel the Holy Spirit. This is why we shouldn't be too uptight about sensation. You know, against it too much. For people say, we don't need sensation. Because we can feel the Holy Spirit. You can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can you feel your emotions? When your emotions well up, don't you feel it?
Yes.
You get emotional, you feel it. The Holy Spirit can come on you and it can make your physical physical body emotional. You can feel it. How many are ready this morning and sensed or felt the Holy Spirit in her service? Just like these rays of light, you can feel it. Just like the sun came in those windows, you'd feel the heat of the sun. You'd feel the radiance of the sun. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you feel that presence, you need to yield yourself. Yield yourself to that presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like the woman said to Brother Branham of the man, said, I'm looking at baptism. Brother Branham said, you see, yesterday when you were out praying, and a feeling come upon you. He said, that's right, brother. He said, that was the Holy Spirit. That already was the Holy Spirit. You already had the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. But he says you need to yield to that when that came upon you. Yes. For you already have the Holy Spirit. And you see, people are looking for someone that's already coming upon them. You can feel it coming upon you. You can sense it. But you need to yield to it. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Be tentative to the Holy Spirit's moving. And the Holy Spirit will fill you and thrill you like nothing else, praise God. So let me read you this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, for whom are all things, and we by him. So we're in him and we're by him. One Lord, one God. Let me read it again. But to us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, for whom are all things, and we by him. So we're in God and we're by the Lord Jesus Christ. In us and by us. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus said, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be given of you of my Father which art in heaven. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, and God's words abides in you, the word of God's powerful. The word of God's a living word. It's a powerful word. And when God's words abides in you, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 19, let's read what it says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was yea and nay, but him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you is Christ, and have anointed us as God, who have also washed us, also, sorry, sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So he seals you with the Spirit. The Lord seals you. Now you only can be sealed once. You can't be sealed twice. Now I want you to understand this. There is one baptism of the Holy Spirit with many fillings. But one baptism. You can be only sealed once. There's not scripture that he'll seal you the day and he'll seal you next week. That's not. What? That means then God could lose you. Why would he seal what he's already sealed? Who broke the seal? It wouldn't need to be sealed again. Do you understand? See what I'm saying? The Lord can refill you. I believe that. But you're baptized once into one body. Now remember, when you're baptized into the body, which is the body, the church is the body we're talking about, the church. The body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ is church. You're baptized into it once, by one baptism and by one Spirit. You don't need to be baptized in again, because once you're in, you're in. You're sealed. The Holy Spirit seals you. Brother Branham says, he talked about the old boxcars. He says when they used to be, when they packed them and filled them with the cargo and they sealed them, that seal would never be opened until it reached its destination. And the Bible warns us in the book of Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed unto next week. No. It says the day of redemption. That means a changing of your body. So you're saved once. You can be filled each meeting. I pray God to fill me all the time. You'll hear me praying. I take the blessed Holy Spirit. I want it all the time. I need the Lord's help. But I believe I'm saved. And I believe tomorrow, if I didn't pray, I'm still saved. Do you know that? Because the Lord sealed me onto the day of redemption, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Praise God for it. Let me read you this. Now you can imagine seeing that it stands right close here on just yourself. Now, that electric bulb can't say, look here, I'm giving light. Say to the window, see, I'm giving light. And tomorrow the light window will say, see, I'm the one that's giving light. It's neither one of them giving the light. This is not the light bulb giving the light. It's the current in the bulb that's giving the light. So the light bulb's not the one giving the light. But the current coming through it is what gives it the power to give it the light. The window does not give you the light. Because if there's no light outside and you have a window, you're still in darkness. But it is the light that shines through the window that gives the light, not the window. It is the electric that goes through the bulb that gives the light. And this is where people get mixed up. They look at the messenger instead of the power behind it. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Amen. So when God uses a person or an individual or God uses anything, we ought not to worship that thing, but worship the power behind it, which is ultimately God. Amen. Can you see that this morning? Isn't that real simple? Amen. So you see, the window's not giving us the light here. The window's letting the light in. But the light's not coming from the window. The light's superior to the window. The light will let the light can shine through 1,000 windows. That's just the window. That window's privileged to be there to let the light in. And God says, we're the light of the world. Amen. We're only the light of the world because there's another light, the real light, the light that lighteneth every man. And whom there's no darkness, that's a tax. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light that shines through us. And there's no darkness in him. So when somebody says, look what she done, look what he done, that never came from the light. That's the flesh, the devil. But that's not the light. But then when they say, look what they've done, and it's of the Lord, it's good, that's the light. But you see, we're wrestling all the time, but he's not. He's complete, he's perfect, he's God. And we need to continually yield to him. And the rest of our scripture saying, we need to confess our sins to him. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You know there's many poles in the world today. There's poles of darkness, they're not light. They want to pull people away here, pull people away there. But you need to stay in the light.
Amen.
Stay in the light.
Glory.
Stay away from the darkness. Luke, did you ever study Genesis, that beautiful Genesis, how that God making the heaven and the earth and the sun and the moon, and when the sun goes down, the moon reflects the light. Now the moon is not the light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. And you, how many's ever, you know, when they talk about the time of the year, the longest day, we pigeon men know, we've been about it, you purr up when there's the brightest night. How many knows what I'm talking about? You have the brightest day and all that. Right, that brightest day is not because the moon decided I'd be brighter than that. When the full moon comes out, that full moon's not the light. It's reflecting the light of something greater than it, which is the sun. The sun's the ultimate light. And you see, God is the ultimate light. And no matter what happens, or who God uses, or whatever God does, we need to give the glory to God. Certainly, we recognize the moon, because it's a reflector of the light. We thank God for the moon. We need the moon. Just like when God sends a servant, we thank God for the man of God. But he's not God. But if he's a genuine man of God, what will he say? Look at the one I point you to. In other words, look at the light. God. Isn't it true? Now let me just go through this for a moment, and I won't go into all these different things I want to read, but let me read you a few of them. It's just exactly like Christ on the church. When Christ had gone away from the earth, he shines back his power on the church, which reflects his light side. That's just like the bride and the bridegroom. The whole book of Genesis, the whole Bible types out and is tied to Jesus Christ. And now it's in Exodus 13 chapter, you'll see that that pillar of fire that talked to Moses, the burning bush, was actually God. Moses met the light. Now Moses did not see God face to face as a man, for no man could see God live. He did see his back parts, we know that. He said, if you hide yourself on the rock, I'll pass you on the cleft of the rock. How many know the Bible says that? But yet Moses met God really because he met the burning bush. God in the pillar of fire. So we can say he met God in that form. And when Moses met God in that form, this has always blessed me. Moses, when Moses met God, that burning bush, when Moses came down from the mountain, Moses had to veil his face. No man could look upon the face of Moses because the Bible says the glory of God shone in Moses. Now think of this. Moses only reflected the light of God and his face shone. Yet Jesus Christ could walk with people. And they could look on him. And yet in him was the fullness of God in battle. Because God was veiled in Christ. Veiled in him. And you couldn't see God in him unless you looked beyond the veil. The perfect type of the Old Testament tabernacle. You look at the tabernacle from out yonder. You look down. If they were to take off, you know, from the outside, all you'd see is badger skins. And you'll say, there's nothing to that. That's just a badger skin over that tabernacle. But if you were to go through it and peel off the badger skin, you'll see the purple, which speaks of the royalty of Christ. You'll see the blue, which speaks of the Lord from heaven. You'll see the scarlet, which speaks of the red, the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll see the white cloth, which speaks of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that when you begin to pull back and look beyond the veil. And as you begin to pull back and look beyond the veil deeper, and you get into the holiest of holiest, there's no more candle light. In the inner place is candle light. Seven candlesticks, which gives you light to reach the table with a hidden manna. And that candle light's a partial light. Do you know that? Yes. How many knows that? It had to be lit. And the first candle lights the second candle, and the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. The seventh does not draw us oil from a separate place from the first to the second, but they all draw their oil from the same place. Christ. But if you were to go through the tabernacle, past them candlesticks, to the type of the seven messengers, and the type of the seven church ages, you would come to the veil, and if you were to go beyond that last veil, there's woven cherubims in it. In there is the mercy seat, an orange rod that budded. The Ten Commandments, a type of the Word. But in there was the Shekinah glory. No more a temple light, but the light itself that lit that was in there. But you would have to look beyond the veil to see it. And we need to be looked beyond the veil today and see that it was God that has spoken in our day. God that has spoken in our day. It was God that sent a voice according to Revelation 10:7 and Revelation 10:1. Mighty angel and a mighty voice God sent to turn his people back to the truth, which is his word. This glorious light of the gospel. Now, I don't want to get way ahead this morning. There's so many avenues I could go with this. But I don't want to. Now, I want to talk to you about this solar spectrum for a moment. When we analyze sunlight, we find that it consists of seven visible colors. Not six. So the rainbow crowd are out. Now, I'm saying that I don't look, pray for people that's like that. I believe God can and save them. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
I do, with all my heart. But what I'm saying is, I'm only saying it to show you that they took something and perverted it.
Yes,
and God has them colours. God, it's God's rainbow.
Yes.
And it's seven colours, not six. Seven, six is the number of man.
Yes.
And when you study Colossians, I did it through the Derby Bible, you will see that it speaks of man's day. The day of the glorification of man. That's the day. That's in this latest day and age. We're living in the day of the glorification of man. And when we flick over to Romans, we read Paul's writings in Acts to the first church age. Paul says, they did not even want to retain God in their knowledge. But they turned over to that which was reprobate. And women with women and men with men. And God gave them over to it. That's the Bible. Seven is completion. After 7 years of eight, which is a new day. And Paul said, if he had spoken of another day, an eighth day, and there's no eighth day, but he means the rest of the Holy Spirit, it's finished. That's what he's talking about. Now let me go through this, and you follow with me. These seven colours, which compose the solar spectrum seen in the rainbow or in a diamond or a beveled glass. If we pass a shaft of sunlight through a prism of glass, we find that different colours have different angles of reflection, and when thrown upon a surface, the prism will appear seven colours. At the upper end will be the violet, and at the lower end the red. Above the violet we have the ultraviolet rays invisible to the human eye. As they are chemical rays, below the red we have the inferred rays, invisible to the human eyes. The fact that light can be divided into seven basic colours, from the violet to the red, speaks of the perfection of God. Seven stands for perfection. God is perfection. Just like in the tabernacle study, seven colours all speak of something. Seven colours. Now, I guarantee you would know them, for I've preached them so much, but how many knows are good to know them? All them colours. The blue is the Lord from heaven. The purple is royal. And the red speaks of his blood. And the white speaks of his humanity. And the gold woven in it speaks of supreme deity. God was in Christ. Every single colour. You go into the wood. The wood speaks of his humanity. He come from the earth. But yet he was God. There's nothing in that tabernacle that doesn't, I can't preach to you about what points you to Christ. The very ropes. The spoons. Everything speaks of the Lord. The bowls. You can't go anywhere in it. But it all points to Christ. There's an answer to all of it. And then you go to the high priest garments, and there even another. My goodness, you can preach in the high priest garments for weeks. There's that much in them. All speaks of Christ. The great high priest. But I haven't got time to go into all that this morning. Now, let me read you from Revelation 4 verse 3. And he that sat upon, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. So you see, the colours of the rainbow are around the throne of God. Now if you look at chapter 10, verse 1 of Revelation, you keep these, your brother, keep them up. And I saw another mighty angel, Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his feet, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. I tell you, this is the Almighty. This is the Lord himself. So you see, these colours are in the Lord. Now there's ways you could go here. I know one fella, you see. There's one fella and he went extreme. He was a great preacher, but he went extreme. And he took these scriptures out of context. And he took this chapter 10 of Revelation away out of context. And he had a great truth and he went with it, but he went too far. And then one day, you see, he was at the ocean and he said he had one foot in the sand and one foot in the sea, and he looked up and he quoted Revelation. And the whole church, glory to God. Now I tell you, that's the Lord that's talking about there.
Yeah,
not some man. And you see, Brother Branham never said that. And this fella, he said it. But the prophet never said it like that. And then there was a wee camp started and they all followed him. And you weren't in unless you followed him. But you see, that was the devil. He took the people away. It must be according to the word of God. And no one can take the place of Christ. You remember that. Don't put nobody else in a scripture that's speaking about the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do it. And you remember when the seven seals opened. And it doesn't say he opened six. It says he opened the seven. Now how you interpret that, whatever way you want, but you can't break that scripture, sir. He opened the seven seals, it says. Now we know there's things in the seven. We don't know what it is. We know that. I'm not saying different than that. But he opened the seven. But I'll tell you what, it was no man that opened it. Because the Bible says John wept. For no one was found worthy to open them seals. But the Lamb of the tribe of Judah opened them. The Lord himself opened them. Nobody else. Then God showed them, the heavenly messenger took the message down to the earthly messenger, if you like, and he preached it. That's what we believe. Isn't it wonderful? That God gave a part of heaven, if you like, to this age, that we could be enlightened. That's what it is, you know. It's absolutely wonderful. But back to these colours. You can mark these down if you want. These seven colours. Violet represents God. And we've saw that from the word of God. Indigo, man's choice to serve God. Now you could have other things. Blue's new creation, the Lord from heaven. Speaks a new creation. Because they all die in the first Adam, but they live in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. New creation. And you only can be born again, recreated it means, through Christ. You need the new birth. Number four is green. And four plus four is eight, which is new beginning. New beginning. Green speaks of a new beginning. Do you know that? Now here's a simple way of looking at green. If I sow a seed in 6 months, a brother carries, waters it and all the rest of it, in 6 months me and him come along and say, look, there's the shoots coming. Green shoots. New beginning. The new beginning. Green speaks of new beginning. Number five is yellow. Peace and grace. Peace and grace. Number six is orange. Man. And you see the Bible even interprets Adam was talks of the orange coming from the clay. God made man from the clay. That's where your orange comes. And man. It's all there, you see. And seven's red. Love. And also speaks of divine completion and also speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ. For he said it's finished at the cross. These seven colours are always found in sunlight. Other classifications, two types of rays which radiate from the sun. Now I want you to get this and we'll type it down to the Lord. Two types of these rays. Here's the first one. Rays which are deadly to every living organism. There's rays that come from the sunlight which are absolutely deadly. And if you come in contact with them rays, you're gone. You're finished. Do you know that? There's two types of rays come from the sunlight. And one of these rays is absolutely deadly to the living organisms. They wipe them clean out. There's another ray which is indispensable and essential to living organisms. So there's one ray that's deadly to them. There's another ray which you can't do without. But these two rays come from the sun. Both of them. Scientists teach that sunlight consists of several kinds of rays. If some of those rays should strike in any organism which God has made, the result would be immediate death. But in this same sunlight are rays which are indispensable to the life of organisms. These two kinds of rays are mixed in sunlight. If man is to continue to live on this earth, there must be a provision made by which the deadly rays can be diverted by the life-giving rays that are provided. The deadly rays must be converted. They must be overcome with the life-giving rays. And all of us had a deadly ray upon us, which was the ray of death. The ray of sin, and sin produced death. And death is a you remember I said the other week, God made everything. He made the devil.
Yes.
God made the devil. So these two rays are coming from the same place. Are you getting that?
Yes.
But the one overcomes the other. That's like the blood, you know, in your body. I could go into the blood. People say, you know, there's nothing to preach in the chemistry of blood. They are so wrong.
Amen.
I've studied it a lot. And I am telling you now, there's so much about the chemistry of that blood, way beyond what you could ever imagine. And in your actual body, and doctors are known, and if you're people that's ever treated for anything in your body, you know there's different blood cells.
Yes.
And one fights the other one. And there can be cells that there's too many of us that there shouldn't be. And then there's other good cells that fight them. And I don't know all the names and things. I'd have to go back over what I studied on it before, but you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Now there's ways to promote the good cells in your body. Did you know that? How many knows what I'm talking about here?
Amen.
You know, and when you promote them good cells, they get stronger and they overcome the other cells that shouldn't be there.
Amen.
You see, AIDS, when AIDS comes into a person, that's a cell in the blood that comes in there. And it's a bad cell. And it tries to kill the good cells. But if you can infuse the good red blood cells, it could fight against it. Barry Smith talked about it. AIDS, man invented AIDS. Don't you think for a moment that AIDS came out of Africa? That's a lie of the devil. And a monkey, this is a story that a monkey had AIDS and he smitted it to a person. You know, the monkey must have been very smart to climb on a jumbo jet and travel across the world. He was a smart monkey, wasn't he? I wouldn't believe that for 1 minute, no. I believe the way Barry Smith said, man made it in the chemistry. Man made it. And injected into certain people. Because you do not know how evil some people are in this world. And if you doubt it, you just have a wee study at Hitler for a while. And you'll see he was the devil himself in flesh. He was a stinker. Do you agree with me this morning? Look at the people he killed. And tried to produce a super race. And you know the biggest ironic thing about it all? Hitler himself wouldn't have laced the boots of what he tried to make. He wouldn't have qualified for what he tried to make. He'd had to kill himself, which he probably did do. But he died a mysterious death anyhow. God fixed him. See these two rays, listen. If man is to continue to live on this earth, there must be provision made by the deadly rays, where the deadly rays can be diverted and life-giving rays provided in creation. God made provision for this very emergency. Encircling the earth is an envelope of gas which we call air. Without the air, what happens? You're dead. Hence the Bible says God holds the very breath you breathe. But God made that gas which made that air, which controverts, you know, which fixes them deadly rays. But if that air was took away, or that what God made was took away, we'd all die. That's why we can't go and live in space. There's head cases wanting to do it. Why would somebody want to live in space is beyond me. I have no interest. And they talk about people starving. Now come on, let's be serious about this. They're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what I think of them. They talk about people starving and they're spending millions and millions trying to walk on the moon and go to space. They took a tenth of it that would feed the whole world in the morning. Buy us all new houses. This is not the truth. If you knew how much the government and these countries spend on nuclear weapons, it would scare you.
That's right.
Then they're out with a begging bowl. They're a joke. Now let me continue this, praise God. This earth extends upward many, many miles and varying and decreasing density. The earth has great refracting power so that when the certain rays of light strike it, they're reflected and deflected. Death-dealing rays and sunlight have very high refracting properties so that when they strike this envelope of air, they are sharply diffracted with the result that the most of them mix the earth and travel off, leaving a coin-shaped area on immunity. The life-giving rays, on the other hand, are not so easily reflected and pass through directly to the earth. And that's why we're breathing and living, because God made this. Now the scientists are smart, but they can't do this. They cannot do it. If they're that smart, let them go and make these on the moon. If they say a bang happened and this just all happened, let them have a bang up on the moon and make these rays and go up there and live. They can't do it. God done this. God made all this. This is God back to the light again. Back to the ultimate one. It's God that did this. No man could do it. Ultimately God. Now these basic attributes of God's speaking figuratively, I want to talk about this. We may see that God as a light consists of two kinds of rays. Now I'm closing in a moment. I'm not going to hold you much longer. There's his justice rays. I want you to get this now. Which demand full payment for sin. God's justice rays. Infinite punishment for those who have transgressed his holy law. The Bible says if you break the law, you're worthy of death. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So God has these justice rays. And because of these justice rays of God, man's going to have to answer to God. Many of them don't want to, but one day they will. They have no choice. These rays spell death, destruction, damnation for every creature in his sight because of sin. Let me read you these scriptures. Now I've quoted them, but I'll read them. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So without Jesus Christ, you have no life. Your life only comes from the ultimate Son, Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we all die in Adam, but in Jesus Christ we're made alive. So God demands justice. And if a man breaks the law, he's worthy of death. He's going to die. Don't think, you know, we're not living in the Old Testament, we're not under the law, but the New Testament magnifies the old. And we are still under God's rule. We're living in the day of grace, but we must accept God's pardon, or else we're still in bondage. We're still under death if we don't. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's why we don't want God's, you know, killing rays. We want a rays that save us. Now look, here's these other rays, his love rays. So you see, his justice rays. And these justice rays, God wants, God has made demands here. And somewhere along the road they'll have to be met. But God's made them. And people can do what they want for as long as they want, but someday they'll have to meet them. But look at these love rays, which yearn after salvation, joy and redemption of creation. God has both these rays. He is justice and he's love. So God is justice rays and God has the love rays. And God, as a stern God, a creator, demands justice, but yet that stern God that demands justice has love. Love. And because of his love, he's made provision. So that we can escape these justice rays because of the love rays. Now look at John 3 verse 16, and everybody knows John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. What a text. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's love rays. God loved the world so much he gave his son. And he gave his son to save you from these justice rays. By this love ray of God. This is a love act God done. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And laid down his life for me. So that we could escape these justice rays. And let these sun rays shine upon us. If his justice were to strike, it would mean our eternal destruction. A way must be found. Found by which his justice may be fully satisfied and filtered out. And yet his love allowed to flow freely into the lives of his creatures. And that way of justice and that way of satisfaction that God And that was the only way that God poured out his wrath on Christ. Do you know that? All God's wrath was poured in Christ at the cross. And Christ took our place. And Christ took these justice rays, so that God could project through his Son these love rays. Not that we love God, but that if he first loved us. Let me read you Romans 5, verse 8 to 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So God has made provision that we are saved by his life. We are reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And we are saved by this life. And this life is the ultimate life, eternal life. That's why God's made this provision, so that God's justice wouldn't come on us, but God's love was. I'm reading one more scripture. We read it. It's the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen him, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he is God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, not that we may have that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we thank God this morning for this greater light. This chemistry of light shows us ultimately God. And we look beyond all the vehicles used. The vehicles themselves can't save you. If I take that light bulb out here this morning and put it into my mouth, will it light? Not unless I am electrically charged. Won't. And I know a fella could light a bulb. I knew a fella could light a bulb, and I'm not joking about it. He could hold on to the mains, and it could travel through him, and he could hold a bulb, and it lit. I seen it done. But yet the electric was going through him. Now don't you ever try that, it'll kill you. But there's certain people can do it. I can't explain it, but they can do it. They can hold a fetcher, they can hold the mains electric. I've seen a man that could do it. A man Poots. He's probably dead now. Because he was quite an age of a man then. I'll never forget it. I was a wee fella. He held the fence of the car. He said, there's nothing to it, Tom. Sure, it's not doing anything. And I went over and got a hold of it and near killed me. And then he stuck his finger in the electric bulb. I didn't try that one. I was silly, but it wasn't that silly. But you see what I'm saying to you this morning? You see, the bulb's not the light. The bulb is what the source of power comes to light it. But if you can have all the bulbs you want, you have no light. You can possess all the bulbs you want. You can possess all the windows you want. You can fill the yard with windows and have no light. You need the source that comes through them. And that source is the sunlight. The sun. feet. And we're going to pray, and then our brother's going to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't they glad for the source?
Amen.
The bowl's not your source. The window's not your source. The source is greater. The power's greater.
Amen.
It uses the bowl, but uses the windows. But it's greater than all them.
Right.
Let's tap into the real source.
Yeah.
Tap in yourself to the life-giving power in the blood.
Amen.
Of the Lamb of God.
Right.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the precious Word of God. We thank Thee for the power of the blood of Jesus. For that life came when the blood cell broke. And the life of God was released. And that life come upon every true believer that was justified and sanctified. Now they're new creatures in Christ Jesus, born again from above by the Spirit of Almighty God. Lord, You have redeemed us by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. How we love You this morning. Lord, we lift our hands to You. Oh God, we say, light of the world, shine in on us and shine through us in Jesus' precious name. Jesus' precious name. Fill us afresh with this rays of the Holy Spirit's life-giving force. For You are the light of the world and the light of all men, especially of those, the Savior of all, especially of those that believe. We believe this morning. Your Word says that we confess You, then we know we're born of Your Spirit. We confess You, Lord Jesus, that You're our Lord and Savior. Baptizer in the Holy Ghost and soon coming King. Father, bless Your people this morning. Touch bodies, touch lives. Pray especially for the young people. You have strengthened them. Encourage them. Help them to walk in Your will. Give them the gold and not the silver. Give them Your best, Lord Jesus. Lord, move on that young man. Move on that young woman. Speak to them today. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. To be continued. God bless you as the brother comes.
A blessing on him, all ye saints, of life in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. I'm not sure if I'll try it.